16, and I mentioned doing this not too long ago, obviously when we had the invite cards made out, and I love, again, as long as it's King James Version, I don't know that there is a bad track. as long as it's the gospel and the truth and things like that, there's not a bad track. But I love both of these. This one right here about everybody needs a home is excellent. And I believe Brother Raji laid that out and through, I believe it was West Coast or whatever. But anyway, that's a great track for a church. Everybody does need a church home. And then on the back of this one, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Basically, that's if you have one of those, you have my outline. And obviously, I'll have a few other things to say about it. But we talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago about it growing and so forth and then trying to do our part inviting churches. So the title of my sermon tonight is Sharing the Gospel in 2023. People, I guess, as time changes and as situations come up, things like that, they use that as an excuse. Well, don't you know that it's 2000, whatever. That's old hat. That's old school. That's been done away with. And there are some things that's a good thing. Again, I like the fact that I can put my key in my vehicle, crank it up, and drive it. I don't have to do this to crank it. I don't have to saddle or hook up a horse to a buggy. I'm glad for advancement when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm glad that I can go to the hospital. And we heard, I think Brother Andy said he had something similar to what Miss Sarah has had done. And his Novocaine was biting on a piece of leather. So I praise the Lord for painkillers, things like that. I'm that way. Put me to sleep. I can't remember which ear. I had an eardrum bust. I think it was this right ear. And so it got all infected, and I couldn't hear out of it. And so the doctor laid me back in his chair and stuck this thing down there, and then he stepped on this button on the floor. And it was like a vacuum, and he basically sucked all that infection out of there. And I mean, it hurt. And so I bent his chair. I was sitting there like this, and I had my arms on it. And so he was like, "Hey, my chair." I was like, "Your chair, nothing. My ear." So I'm happy for advancement as far as painkillers and vehicles and doctors knowing things like that. But there are certain things that you don't need to better. You don't need to better salvation. You can't better salvation. You can't better the King James Bible. There are certain things you can't better. So again, I'm all for, okay, it's 2023 for vehicular. I mean, there's airplanes, there's trains, there's all kinds of transportation. And it used to be Shoe Leather Express, right? Way back in the day. And so praise the Lord for some advancements. I like computers. I'm not very good at them. But I'm glad people can look on the computer and see our church services, and maybe they'll hear the gospel, and maybe they'll get saved. I'm for organizational things that the computer can help you do, things like that. But said all that to say this, there's certain things we don't need to mess with, and that's the gospel. So it doesn't matter that it's 2023. You cannot one-up the gospel. You cannot one-up the scriptures. You can't change it. And so I said all that to say this, that there are certain things that that I've used, and I'm sure maybe you have used in sharing the gospel, that it's not old, and you can still use it. But what has happened, I guess maybe to kind of link them all together, if there's any, we're not legalists. We don't say that you have to do this, and this to be saved or to keep yourself saved. We're not that. All right? We do say you have to do what the Bible says to be saved. And we're going to go over that in just a minute. And Jesus does it. He did it all. He does it all, things like that. You just have to follow His plan. But there are certain, I guess, phrases that have been used for years and years and years that false religion has taught, I guess, maybe its members how to answer us. So in other words, if you just said, back in the day, are you saved? They would say yes or no. All right, today, you go up to, not most, but some people and say, are you saved? And of course, if they've been taught the truth like we've been taught, we can say yes. But a lot of people have been taught a lie, a counterfeit, from the devil and I guess false religion. and they've told them to say, yes, I am saved, but they've taught them that they've been saved because they got baptized. Or they've been saved because they've kept the sacraments. Or they've been saved because they got baptized as a baby. Or they've been saved because they've done this and this, this and this. And so they've basically taught them our lingo. And so again, if you just go out now nowadays and say, are you saved? A lot of people will tell you yes. But they might not be. And again, we can't judge that. If you say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? They've been taught to say yes. If you say, is Jesus your personal Savior? They've been taught to say yes. And then I guess the last one that they've done is, are you born again? That confused a lot of people back in the day. But they've been taught that they're going to heaven because they got baptized. They've been taught that they're going to heaven because their good outweighs their bad. They've been taught that they made Jesus Lord of their life, so that's why they're going to heaven. I've got news for people that Jesus was Lord whether you made Him Lord or not. All right, so you can't get to heaven just by saying, okay, I'm going to let you be Lord. No, He's Lord whether you let Him or not. So all this is falsehoods that they've been taught. The newest craze, and I've mentioned it lately, the newest craze is, you know, checking a box saying, I have decided. That'll get you into heaven. The box didn't die for them, the check mark didn't die for them, and their decision of saying, I've decided, did not save them, didn't die for them. They be a Christ follower. So, again, I'm saying all this to say this, that this is why I put this at the top of our invite card, if you want to call it that, our track. It says, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? And a lot of people have been taught to answer that one, well, yeah. And so, what we were taught after they were taught was to say, well, I'm not trying to be rude, but how do you know that? and things like that. In our day and time, if you say, I'm not trying to be rude, but how do you know that? You just were, in their mind, rude. You're questioning me. There's ways around. So I found that this statement helps me determine whether the person's lost or saved or not. And I put it right there underneath that. And it says, let us put it this way. If you and I were standing before God right now and He were to say to us, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to Him? They've all heard jokes, about standing there and Gabriel was this and then that. And this is not how it's going to happen. But we've all been, I guess, told that there's going to be the pearly white gates and you're going to come up, maybe knock and... That's not how it's going to happen. But they've been maybe programmed that way. So this kind of gets them to thinking... what would I say to Him? And if you were standing before God right now and He were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to Him? And so once I've said that to a person, it gets them thinking. And I get all kinds of responses. Because they would say, well, I got baptized when I was a baby, so that's why you should let me in. Well, I've done this, that's why you should let me in. So it kind of gives, it hadn't been around long enough that they can, maybe go around this one. So, but a lot of times, this is another thing that we got to, it's 2023. I was taught back in the 80s, all right, you would say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? That was how you started. If you were to die right now, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Then you would say, this was how to be nice, I'm not trying to question you. But then you would say, can I take a few minutes and show you what the Bible says? Again, if you use that in 2023, most of the time you're going to get a no. I don't have time. Everybody's so busy. They're just like going here and there and doing all kinds of stuff. So I said, can I take a few minutes? No. What you did, you just gave them a way out. So I would say maybe put that away and don't use it. What I do is say, if you and I are standing before God right now and He were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to Him? I would say, well, this is what I would say. I go right into it. I don't give them a way out, because if you give them a way out, they'll take it. If you give the devil a way out, he'll take it. And so we might be saying, I'm not trying to be rude, but how do you know that? In our day and time, you were just rude. So we ought to just go right in. This is what I would say to him. And I believe that's right there on the track as well. And so it goes right there at the beginning of this track. It says, I would tell him this. 1 John 5:13 says this, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And so I usually say something like this. I'm standing right here in front of you, and I know that I'm going to heaven. And then I would follow it up with this. I'm not any better than you. Okay? I'm not standing here saying I've arrived and I've got it all figured out and I'm better than you because I know. But I am saying I do know. I would tell him, I know that I have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Then if they kind of question that a little bit, I usually go to Titus 1:2, and it says this, in hope of eternal life. I hope everybody wants to go to heaven. I hope everybody wants to live eternally, not die eternally. But it says in Titus 1:2, it says this, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So when the Bible says right here in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that's God talking to us. He wrote this book. He wrote these words. And He cannot lie. And He promised us that we could have eternal life before the world began. So according to the Bible, there's three things you've got to know. And there's three things you got to do. So, again, that's the way I've always done it, and that's why I had it typed up this way. Because you got to know. 1 John 5:13 says you can know. And I mean, without a doubt, you can know. And usually if you say there's three things you got to know, they will be okay with that. If you say there's 52 things you've got to know, they're like, But everybody can go three, right? Right? There's three things you got to know. And we'll go through them real quickly. First thing you got to know is that you're a sinner. And lo and behold, I have had people tell me, nope, not me. And I'm pretty smart. I usually say, well, you just did because you lied. And lying is a sin. All right. But I've had people tell me, never sinned. All right. But most people, I mean, 99.9%, most people, if you say you're a sinner, yep. And they agree with you. Have you ever stole anything? You ever lied? I've had people tell me, no. Like, goodness gracious. But anyway, you must know that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23, for how many people have sinned? All. Alright? You included. Me included. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, that phrase might not go into their vocabulary. If it's a teenage guy, I usually use a basketball illustration here. I say, I like to play basketball. I think of myself a pretty good basketball player. Nowhere close to Michael Jordan. Right? But Michael Jordan didn't even make every basket he shot. He made a lot of them. Right? I was like, but when it leaves my hand, I can usually tell if it's going to go in or not. I've shot enough. I can tell that's going to be to the left. That's going to be to the right. That's going to be long and it's going to be a brick. Bang! But if it hits the front of that rim when you're playing basketball, it's called short. Right? So when it leaves my hand, I know it's going to hit the front of that rim. Didn't put enough follow through on it. That one's short. That's what this verse is talking about. If we were going to get to heaven on our own, we'd have to hit every basket. 100%. But if it hits the front of that rim, that we're not 100%. It's short. That's what this is. If we were going to get to heaven on our own, we'd have to measure up to God. We'd have to be as perfect as God, but we all fall short of that. Then, if they maybe question that a little bit, Romans 5:12, wherefore, as one man, or by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so you can show them right there, this is the first thing you have to know. Everybody's a sinner. If they still question it a little bit, I'll go to Romans 3:10, it says this, as it is written, these things that God wrote to us, so we could know, there is none righteous, no, not one. And if you could be righteous, I believe, and I don't believe, I know that the Bible says that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. And when it says filthy rags, it's not just like your shop rag. All right, it gets dirty every once in a while, what you check your oil with. You're supposed to check your oil? But anyway, it's those type of rags or a cleaning rag. But according to these rags, these were nasty rags. This was like leprosy people that had their wounds wrapped with a rag. And you take that off, pus-filled rags, nasty, gross. All right. So all of our righteousness is filthy rags. The first thing I got to know is I'm a sinner. Second thing you got to know is that there's a price on sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23a, for the wages of sin is death. Wage is what you get paid. Minimum wage, or you get an hourly wage. Your payment for your sin is death. Now, I'll usually say something about this. Now, this death is not just necessarily a physical death. And I'll read them Revelations 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so I'll explain to them that we're going to die physically unless the rapture takes place. But I said, that's another conversation from another time. But we're going to die spiritually, where our soul will be separated from God forever, and it'll burn in a place called hell. And of course, we've all heard the statement, if you've been born once, you're going to die twice. But if you've been born twice, you're only going to die once. So you tell them the second thing is, you've got to know that there's a price on that sin. Third thing you have to know is that Jesus paid that price for you. And again, I don't try to get controversial when I'm out soul winning, things like that, or when I'm trying to witness to somebody. But, you know, I'll say stuff like this and when I'm preaching, that Jesus paid that price. Mary didn't. Mary was a godly lady. She was picked by God to be the mother of His Son. Right? But she did not pay for your sins. The Pope did not pay for your sins. Anybody else, the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, nobody else paid for your sins. The baptistry definitely did not pay for your sins. Jesus paid for your sins. Romans 6:23 says this, 6:23b. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So right there, He's the one that bought you that gift. Ephesians 2:8. It's on the back of our card. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And of course, if you have a birthday or you have Christmas, most people understand the gift giving. And so, again, if it's a teenager, a younger teenager, I might talk about a birthday gift. If it's somebody 16, 17, 18 years old, I usually ask them, what's your favorite car? All right, now, if I was asked if what my favorite car was when I was 16, 17 years old, it's exactly what I'm driving right now. All right, a four-wheel drive Chevrolet pickup. If I could go buy a new one, I would go buy a 2023, 24 Z71 Chevrolet. Sorry about that for you Ford fellas. All right, that's my favorite. And so I would say, okay, let's say I had a lot of money. I don't, but let's say I had a lot of money. And I say, okay, if you picked a Chevrolet, I'd go. I haven't even seen a Chevrolet dealership around here yet, but there might be one. Let's say I go down to the Chevrolet dealership, and I pay cash for you a 2024 Chevrolet, four-wheel drive, Z71, with a lift kit on it, all this kind of stuff, and paid cash for it, and had them put your name on the title. And so I left. They would call you and say, some dude just stopped by and paid cash for you a brand new truck, and this, that, and other, and it's paid for. All you do is come pick it up. We'd give you the keys. You'd be like, crank call. What in the world? No way. You know, scam. And you would explain it away. Some of you might like, let's go see just in case. Right? But if you explained it away and never went down there, there would be a brand new truck with a title with your name on it sitting there. And you never get the pleasure of driving it. You would never put your hand on the steering wheel and lean back and be all cool. You would never rev your engine. All right? You would never get to the privilege of that. And it's yours. It's paid for. I was like, that's what heaven is for everybody. Jesus bought it for everybody. It's a gift. But a lot of people explain it away. You just have to try to be good. Let your good outweigh your bad. You're just going to live and you're going to die and that's it. They try to explain it away. And it was a gift purchased for you. And so, can you imagine like the day before you went to, you know, heaven or hell or wherever you were going to be, you found out that that was true? That truck was sitting there. It was mine. I could have went and got it. But I never had the chance. That's the way heaven is for a lot of people. So we explained to them that there's a gift. So the three things that we have to know. I'm a sinner. There's a price on sin. But Jesus paid that price for me. That's it. You tell them that. So now you go, so now since you understand all three things you got to know, there's only three things you got to do. So again, we're not at 52, but we're at 3. They're like, And if they've let you get this far, they're wondering what those three things you got to do are. Because you made it so simple that they understood, hey, I am a sinner. Hey, there is a price on sin. Hey, Jesus paid it for me. There's a gift for me. There's heaven for me. I wonder what those three things that I got to do are. And so then you say, according to the Bible. Again, not according to me. Not according to our church. Not according to any religion. But according to the Bible, here's the three things you got to do. Number one, on the back of our card, you must believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And it says in Romans 10:9a, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So I usually say right then and there, do you believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son? And most of the time I get a yes. If I get a I start, okay, well, about the Christmas story. Born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Hey, the shepherd and the cattle and then the manger. Have you heard that? Well, yeah. Well, I mean, do you believe that that was true? Do you believe that? And so when they say yes, I usually say, well, you just confessed with your mouth. And I heard you. You just did number one. You just did number one. Number two, you must believe that God raised Him from the dead. Romans 10:9b. And after you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ was God's Son, shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that death penalty of hell. And so then we talk about, just like Christmas, you can talk about Easter. And you, again, you say, you know, it wasn't an Easter bunny and hopping around and, you know, hiding eggs, right? It was the day that Jesus resurrected from the grave. Do you believe that happened? If they say yes, then you say, right then, you've done two out of three. That simple. That easy. And again, this is kind of like some of us are, you know, we hang up on, what's those type of calls that we get on the phone? Telemarketer. There we go. Thank you. We'll hang up on them because we know that we're, you know, we're gullible. We'll fall for it. You know, you need this. Well, let me buy four of them. We might be that type of person. And so, again, in your soul winning, you know, we're kind of like a telemarketer. We're trying to, we're not selling anything. Obviously, we're telling the truth. But what they do, they try to set you up to see that you really do need that. And so that's what you've done. You've showed them that I know I'm a sinner. I know that there's a price on sin. I know that Jesus paid it for me. I know that I believe that Jesus was God's Son, and I did that, and I believe that Jesus rose from again. I said that. So what's that third and final thing you've got to do? It says right here on the back of our invite card, you must call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, you can put your name right there, shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be, hope so, think so, but shall be saved. And of course, I usually say something like this, and these are good illustrations at the door or at somebody's house or whatever, and say, look, you know, these are awesome. That you can call all over the world with them. You can call your aunt, you can call your uncle, you can call your girlfriend, you can call your boyfriend, but you can't talk to God on this. I say, how do you talk to God? And they'll, by praying. That's what they say. And so we basically say, so last thing you have to do is the third thing, simply call upon the name of the Lord. Now again, just like we talked about earlier, can I take a few minutes and show you from the Bible? If you do that today, they're going to say no. So now if you're to this point, say, you know, would you like to pray and ask God to save you? They're going to tell you no a lot of times. So we have to bypass that, set that aside. This is what I say. I tell you what, this is the last thing you have to do. So we're going to have a word of prayer. I make them stop me if they don't want to. Because that's the third and final thing they must do. It says here, I'll tell you what, let's have a word of prayer. And I'll word of prayer for you. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the decision in your heart to decide, I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So we want to obviously pray. And of course, if it's a, you know, teenager, I will use how that, you know, whether you're a good teenager or a bad teenager, your mom and dad are your mom and dad. If you're a good teenager, your mom and dad are proud of you. If you're a bad teenager, your mom and dad's disappointed in you. And you might be in trouble. But they're your parents no matter what. So once they've prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save them, I tell them that they've become a son of God. And good son or bad son, they're still God's son. There's nothing they can do to unsave themselves. Okay? They can't lose it. Now, just like your parents, going to restrict you, take away your car keys, put you on restriction, and maybe even spank you, God will do the same thing. He's not going to unsave you or unchild you, but He will punish you. So that's why we should live. So, on our in conclusion here, our endeavor, I got six endeavors for every visit that we might have, whether it be a coworker visit, a neighbor visit, a knocking on a door visit. When you're talking to somebody about salvation, there are six things that you ought to endeavor to do. Number one, make them like you. Make them like you. Okay. So in other words, if they won't let you get anywhere close to the three things you got to know, three things you got to do, don't tell them to die and fry. All right. That's not good.
Well, you're going to wake up in hell one day, buddy, and you're going to wish you...
No. It's not, you know, tit for tat and aha, I showed you. And no, it's a love for them. And so my you know, talking to that person, whether it's a coworker, or a neighbor, or a relative, or somebody I've just met, I want them to like me. And so my endeavor is to make them like me, because it'll go a long ways if they do. So in other words, you need to be nice. Hey, smile. maybe have a breath mint, so you're not this green fog knocking them down. All right. Be nice. Be positive. Be sincere. We talked about it. We ought to be a peculiar person, not a weird person. We ought to be a prepared person. In other words, know your stuff. When you're going down through there and you're telling the Word of God and you're saying it with confidence, the Bible says, they know you believe, you're prepared. You know your stuff, know who your stuff is, and then just stuff them. But then we also ought to be that predestined person for such a time as this. There's been countless times that I've witnessed to somebody and they're like, I don't even live here. I'm just in town for a birthday party, or I'm just in town visiting my sister. I live in, you know, and they'll name a state. There was no accident that I went to that door that day. And there was no accident that they came from whatever state they were and they were going to be there. So that's what we have to realize. We have to be prepared. So make them like you. Number two, discern their spiritual condition. Discern their spiritual condition. This is what I'm endeavoring to do. So they can either be lost or they can be saved. That's it. There's only two choices. Now we can have this. We can have religious but lost. So when I ask them, if you and I were standing before God right now and He were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to Him? When they give me those made up things, I know they're religious, but they're still lost because they're trusting in the baptistry. They're trusting in their goods or their good works. They're trusting in things. And of course, the Bible calls that, Matthew 23:15, calls that person a twofold child of hell. A twofold child of hell. What that means is, if they're trusting in that baptistry, again, I'm not going to attack the baptistry. I mean, Ty got baptized Sunday. We're good. We're glad. That's awesome. That's what he's supposed to do. Right? But that didn't save him. Okay? When he asked Jesus Christ to save him, that's what saved him. He did that because he got saved. All right, so I'm not going to attack that. All right, but now I realize that they're trusting in that more than they're trusting in Jesus. They're a twofold child of hell. I've got to convince them that Jesus is more important than that. So it's going to take me two times, two efforts. So I'm trying to discern their spiritual condition. Are they lost? Are they saved? Are they religious but lost? Here's a good one. Are they saved but backslidden? I've had them tell me this. You know, I'm going to hell. And so I go all the way through that. Well, I did that when I was 14. I asked Jesus to save me. Okay, but the devil's got them convinced they're lost and on their way to hell again because they're just so backslidden. Because if they meant it and they prayed and asked Jesus to save them at 14, whether they were in church or out of church, they got saved. Okay, they're just backslidden. Or they're saved but just immature. Saved but are in looking for a church. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to discern their spiritual condition. Number three, I'm trying to expose them to the gospel. Trying to expose them to the gospel. And when I do that, what that does is gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. In other words, I can't save them. Even if I have God's help and I've been a good testimony in front of them, that still won't save them. Okay? Only the Word of God and obviously, you know, the Holy Spirit working together, germinating new birth in their soul, is how they get saved. So if you give them the gospel, whether they get saved that day or not, that now the Holy Spirit's got something to work with. I've had people come back to me, relatives come back to me, friends that come back to me. What you said 2 weeks ago, I can't go to sleep. Holy Spirit's just pounding on them. All right? They can't get rid of it. So give them. And that's what I'm saying. When they don't get saved, you know, I know I like seeing them get saved better, but when they don't get saved, don't get discouraged. You just gave them something that the Holy Spirit can just work on them. So the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you've given them some Word of God, now they're going to have a little bit of faith and they're going to go. So my endeavor is to give them the gospel, because I might be planning for the first time. It may be the first time they've ever heard that. I've had, obviously, young kids say, I've never heard that. I've had adults tell me, I've never heard that. And so you're planting, or you might be watering. And if God gives the increase, you may, praise the Lord, get to reap. Number four, what's my endeavor? To get them to decide today if possible. To get to decide today if possible. And the two verses I always use, Proverbs 27:1 says this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again, you not trying to be mean here, not trying to be all like make you scared, but you could die in a car wreck. Or you could just stop breathing. You could have a heart attack. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself tomorrow," because I've had them tell me, "I'll do that later." James 4:14 says this, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're not promised tomorrow." So get it on the side today if possible. Again, if they won't, again, we're not going to put them in a headlock, an arm bar. You're going to get saved. No, we're not doing that. We're not being the Holy Spirit. We're not being all that kind of stuff. We're going to just give them the choice. So number five, get them to be in church with you the next opportunity available. So if they won't get saved, say, "Well, at least come to my church with me sometime. Come visit." So again, they will hear and get an opportunity as well. Then number six, the last thing, leave the door open for another visit. Don't burn the bridge. All right, again, that's what I'm saying a while ago. You know, I've heard people get mad. "We'll just die and fry. Or you're going to sizzle like bacon." And again, that's not what it's all about. You're going to wish you did. No. All right, leave the door open, whether it be you or somebody else. Proverbs 25:17 says this, "Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee." So we have it in the Bible right there. So just listen to the Holy Spirit and do that. So in conclusion, we see here we're going to encourage them to pray. Or we're going to, I guess everybody should be encouraged to pray. So you say, "Well, I've never led a soul to Christ. I've never passed out a tract. I've never witnessed anybody," all that stuff. So wherever you are, that's what we're going to do. We're talking about grow to the next step. I gave you my testimony about being the tract toter, going from the tract toter to the tract toter and the door knocker and the silent partner and so forth. It's a growth. So Bible says in Matthew 9:38 says this, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So you say, "I can't do that. There's no way I could talk to anybody. There's no way that I would be feel confident enough to present that. I can't do it." Now, I wish you would. I think you're commanded to in the Bible. But at least do this. Matthew 9:38. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers." So pray for those. And maybe pray that God will help you become that. So then, my second conclusion here, not only should we pray that people get saved and pray for those that go in soul winning, pray about becoming a laborer. Into that harvest, becoming a laborer. Again, last night I took my wife to Longhorn, and I was a big spender. I had a gift card. But anyway, I took her to Longhorn for Valentine's Day. We had an hour wait. That was an awesome blessing to my heart. But we ate at Longhorn. And so, of course, the gift card that I had, there was about $9 on there after the meal. And I just told the lady, "Keep it." And I put one of those in there. And so I was up at front getting ready to leave, waiting on my wife to go to the restroom. I'm sure she's going to appreciate that I told you that part. But anyway, I was waiting up front, and the lady came all the way from the back, came up there, and she said, "I want to just come up here and personally thank you." And I was like, "You're welcome." So I don't know if it was the $9 tip she got or if it was the church invitation she got. Either way, I was glad. And so, again, pass out a track. It doesn't take hard. And when I got here, Matt and Colby was down there shooting basketball. Went down there and said, "Hey, y'all, you look like you're pretty good," because one of them hit a shot from off the court. I was like, "That's not fair." They were playing horse. And the one guy hit the shot from off the court and so forth. So I invited them to church, gave them a track. Again, you can get to that point. Then you get to where you can witness and invite, but that closing the deal kind of evades you a little bit. Keep working on it. And then win and bring. Win and bring. That's what the Bible says. Sheep. Is that what we're called? Sheep of His pasture? You know who produces sheep? Sheep. It's our job to produce other sheep. And so we see tonight, obviously, we can all grow in this area of outreach. At least pray I'm not there yet, Pastor. You know, hopefully I might get there one day. But pray. Lord, help the ones that are going. Help the ones that are witnessing. Help the ones that are inviting people to church. Help them to be successful. And, you know, I'm going to pray. And that's great. There's people that get to the point that they can't go back out soul winning anymore physically. But then they can go right back to this and pray for the ones that are. And all of it's important. Nobody's more important than the other person. But anyway, just please God with your efforts. And so grab you some of those and study it. It'll help you become someone that can lead someone to Christ right there. And it's awesome. So I hope to see lots of visitors, lots of people being saved in the next. We're fixing to celebrate 25 years of this church history. If I'm still alive and 25 more, we will hopefully have a lot more people sitting here. That's our job. Now, again, I'm not saying that it's horrible like it is. I love it like it is. But we can't get satisfied and say our four and no more. We're supposed to be a lighthouse. We're supposed to invite. And so if we do start having people come, don't punch them if they take your seat. Don't say, I've been sitting there for 35 years. That's what's going to happen. You know, when you start inviting people, they're going to take your spot, and they're going to, you know, oh no. So let's be nice. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to, Lord, just at least desire to be a better Christian, to be a better representative of you, be someone that can invite people and be excited about you, be excited about our church. Be excited about the future in heaven. And Lord, I just ask you to just have your will and way. Lord, I just ask you to be with the ones that are sick. We ask you to touch their bodies. Lord, be with the ones that have something else come up. Maybe they're providentially hindered. We just ask you to bless them. Be with the rest of the week this week. Help us have a good Sunday this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.